some prayer requests and praises from this past week. And yes, we are all combined here in our Sunday school class. Ooh, I'm hearing just a little bit of feedback. Brother Matt will take care of it. Definitely I'm praying for Kenny, and I guess he probably can't even give us an update. Are you good? Okay, all right, very good. Had a little minor surgery on his throat, so we're glad put him down for today, and hopefully get back to going soon. So very good. We'll pray for Kenny's healing there. Anyone else? Yes. Nope. Okay. Oh. Okay. Okay, so unspoken, and then pray for Linda. She fell this week and hit herself, shoulder and knee, so that's no fun. And yes, let's continue to remember the Eastwoods and their ongoing unspoken, so we'll meet their need. So, all right, anyone else? Yes, all right. All right, very good. So, yeah. Amen, amen. So, yeah, let's be in prayer for the Brocks and us, the Heffernans. We'll be traveling this week, going up to a youth conference in Wisconsin, Degeneration. And the Lord will just use that in the lives of the young people that are there to hear that, and us as well. So, appreciate your prayers and everybody. So. Yes, sir. Tom?
I wanted to praise the Lord. He cares about even our small things. I lost my keys to my truck when we went to Texarkana for a couple of days. And since we've been preaching on patience, I've had a lot of opportunities to learn that. Since I got better at it, I found my keys.
Oh, okay.
And the phone that's fine.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. Weren't you so glad you need to blow your nose, you know? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Tom, praising the Lord for God teaching him some lessons along the way and helping him find some keys. That's always a huge relief when the Lord allows you to give you that moment of just that overwhelming thank you, Lord. It just comes out of our hearts. So it's neat. Yes, funny. Okay, all right, very good. So pray for Ernie, her several daughters traveling today. So ask for traveling mercies. So see that hand, Angela? Very good. So, we're providing for the Coburnouts a house, so that's good. Good update. All right, anyone else? Let's continue to pray for Dale. He's got surgery scheduled for Monday the 13th, so back surgery, so that'll be a big deal, and everything that gets ready for that. And, good. Lord will bless him in that. Yes, sir, Brother Matt. Okay. Continue prayer for Sally, and that's the 15th. All right, so okay, all right, it's all coming as a cluster here. So okay, so continue to pray for Sally, and scheduled surgery date the 15th this month. So Lord bless that as well. Yes. Okay. All right. Charlotte praising the Lord for weekly kindness to she's experiencing, but also praying for an unspoken. So. Good. Yes, I'm good. Okay. Andrew has an unspoken as well. I'll add those. All right. Any others to add? Okay, if not, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. I believe the last time we were looking at this, we were looking in Matthew, and so Luke 11 has a parallel account of Jesus' teaching on prayer. Same, you can see this here when he says, I say unto you, in verse 9 of Luke 11, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? All right, so very clearly, he's using the same aspect here. We're in a different situation. So I don't believe this is recounting the same incident. This is Jesus giving teaching at a different time, but he's repeating something very simple. And so that kind of lets us know that this is very important. And when he repeats this part, he actually changes something and makes it more specific. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? When we come to this element in Matthew, he says, how much more will he give good gifts, good things? So on one side, he's basically saying the Father is willing to give us anything that is good, and if we ask for it. But here he narrows the focus down to one particular good gift. And in fact, we might call this the chief and the best of all of God's gifts. In fact, within the one gift of the Holy Spirit, you have the promise of all that God intends to give to us. And so there's something very special about this gift. And if this is the first, and this is the greatest gift. So he's not, you know, he'd say, well, what would you rather have? Well, I'd rather have the promise, all these good things. I get good things. Well, that sounds like I can kind of fill in the blank of whatever I need. And that's a good thing. That's great. And I don't think that's wrong. But now he's telling us and specifying what the Father's good pleasure, what he wants to give us. And so this is what he delights to bestow. It is the Father who is eagerly waiting to give the Holy Spirit. And so if this is what the Father wants to give, what do you think we ought to pray for? We ought to be on our knees praying for the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk about what does that mean, and that's what we want to look at here today. There's an element to which the Spirit is called in John and in Acts. Here he's called the promise of the Father. Now, on one sense, it is the person of the Godhead who is promised of the Father. And yet, it is the Spirit of the Father. It is God's Spirit that He is going to impart to us. And when you think about this, what can a father impart to his children? And we think of it not in the same dynamic, but you think about it in terms of if a father can bestow upon his child his own spirit, his own attitude, his own perspective, his own makeup, his own mind, and he can impart that to his child, that is a tremendous gift. Now, obviously, it's different from us in terms of this, but God, the Holy Spirit, in connection to, we have to think about it in terms of God identifies him as a spirit. Our author, Andrew Murray, puts this way, "This is the great object of a father in education, to reproduce in his child his own disposition and character. If the child is to know and understand his father, if as he grows up he is to enter into all his will and plans, if he is to have his highest joy in the Father and the Father in him, he must be of one mind and one spirit with him." Isn't that neat? Now we think of it in terms of, as soon as I say the word Holy Spirit, you and I are automatically thinking person, and that's absolutely important, and that's exactly what God is. But the person of the Holy Spirit imparts the very Spirit of God, His very character to us. And so you can see why there really is no other higher gift that the Father can give to us than His Holy Spirit. And everything that God is, He is through His Spirit. That makes sense? The Spirit is the very life of God. You think, just what I'm doing here is, and part of this is the reality of we're taking the way the Bible uses the word Spirit and applying it to that person. You say, if you do not have your Spirit within you, you're dead. The Spirit is the life. And so God's Holy Spirit is the one who imparts the life of God to his own children. It is what puts you in connection with the Father. When the Spirit of the Father that God has promised is upon you, you have full communion with the Father. What does Paul say? He says, no one knows the mind of God except for the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit who knows the Father intimately and fully. And he can impart that to us. What was the glory of Jesus, the Son, but that the Spirit of the Father was upon him? That he did not give him the Spirit by measure, but he had him in the fullness of the Spirit? At the baptism, there was the voice, and the Spirit of God descended upon him. The Apostle Paul tells us that God sends the Spirit of His Son. So now we've talked about the Spirit of the Father, but it's also the Spirit of the Son. So that when you have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Father upon, He sheds abroad in your heart the love of God. You experience God's love for you as a father in a way that you never would have apart from God's Spirit. He takes that relationship and applies it to you. But it's also the Spirit of the Son. So here's the relationship, the Father and the Son. And everything that we should have and can have has already been experienced within the Godhead of the Trinity. And it's the Spirit who's the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. And when He's given, we experience the love of the Father, and He gives us everything that we need of the Son to have to be in the Son's role to experience that relationship. This is a mighty, powerful gift. If a king has a son, then he wants to impart a certain kind of spirit to his son. A kingly spirit. Son, this is how you have to behave as a king. I'm imparting this to you. I am teaching. This is the way you have to think. This is the way you have to believe. This is the way you have to act. All these things. The father has children who are not in terms of, yes, there's a kingly aspect. I don't want to diminish that. But there's an aspect of a heavenly reality going on here. That God is going to impart to us the holy, heavenly life in which the Spirit of God will dwell in us. And so, you say, what was the whole aim of the Jesus Christ and this ministry? When Jesus came to the earth, John the Baptist came before Him and said, there is someone who is coming. You know what He's going to do? He is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. So the reality is, the mission of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection had to take place. Absolutely why He came. But there is another step beyond the death, burial, and resurrection. There's a reason why He is alive. He had to ascend to the Father, and that's why when He appeared to disciples, He says, I must, and in the upper room, He said, I must leave. I must go. It's better for you that I go to the Father so that I can send the Spirit to you. And when after the resurrection, He appeared in Acts 1. He says, you tarry here. You wait in Jerusalem because I am going to go up to the Father. And when Pentecost comes, they explain it in relationship of the new covenant and the old covenant promises that have been fulfilled because Jesus has been exalted to the highest place so that He could shed forth the Holy Spirit upon His people. So there's an element that says, I think, at first blush, we read this verse in Luke 11:13, and we say, give the Holy Spirit? But hopefully as we begin to start thinking about this and understanding in the context of what God has promised us, we begin to say, I want that blessed Holy Spirit. He wants to give Him. And this is the greatest gift. If I will come for anything and not be denied, you will not be denied when you ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, what exactly are we talking about? There's an element that says, if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God, you are not Christ. You are not a Christian if you do not have the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8 tells us. So what do we mean? Are we past that point? I've already got the Holy Spirit. I'm good. I don't need to ask for any more. I think there's an element that we can pray for the Holy Spirit in regards to this, that we would have the whole ministry of the Spirit of God towards us to be activated in our lives. So yes, He says, be filled with the Spirit. It means God wants to control you. He wants to fill you to the uttermost. So that the imagery of this is really the temple. That when when God's glory came down in the temple, He filled it with His glory. And Ephesians talks about this at the end of chapter 3. He says that you would know the love of Christ, which passes understanding. And He says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That filling is by the Spirit of God. And so God wants to completely control, captivate, empower every part of our lives. And so if we would yield ourselves entirely to the Holy Spirit, let Him have His way with us, then the Spirit of His Son would manifest the life of Jesus, the glory of God, more and more fully in our lives. And so this is an ongoing daily activity in which it's not just that, oh, we already have the Holy Spirit, but that you ought to ask, Father, fill me with your Spirit. I want the ministry of the Holy Spirit in every aspect. If our author puts it this way, if there is one prayer that should draw us to the Father's throne and keep us there, it is this: for the Holy Spirit, whom we as children have received, to stream into us and out from us in greater fullness. Think about the names of the Holy Spirit. What is His ministry towards us? He is called the Spirit of Grace. Isn't that beautiful? He says, all of God's grace is imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, so that if you refuse His voice and you reject His leading, do you have any grace? He says, you've done despite to the Spirit of grace. And the point of that title that Hebrews uses it for is, if you reject the Holy Spirit, you're rejecting God's grace. He is called the Spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. See that? We have the same spirit of faith. Who's the person who says, I believed, therefore have I spoken? In the Old Testament. That's an Old Testament prophecy of Jesus Christ. I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith. If you believe as a Christian, it is because of the Holy Spirit who's empowering you. You say you have a spirit of faith. It's the spirit that was on Jesus. His spirit is producing the fruit of faith in your life. Do you need more faith? Ask for the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of adoption. Acts 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you need assurance that you are God's son? That you have the fullness of His inheritance coming to you? That is imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. How about this? The Spirit of truth. You know that you cannot understand the truth of God unless God's Spirit is upon you. Do we believe that? I can just open up this book and I can understand all that God has to say to me? Or do I need the Spirit of truth? And the Bible says, He will lead me. Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He is called the Spirit of supplication. You say, man, I struggle to pray. I need to be more faithful. I need God to help me to have true, life-giving prayers. That I know that I'm meeting with God. He is the Spirit of supplication. And when God gives you the Spirit of supplication, you will pray and be heard. You believe that? That's exactly what is Zechariah chapter 12 uses it. He says he's going to pour on the children of Israel the spirit of grace and supplication. And he says they will cry out. they will pray, and God will receive them. What a beautiful thing. You say, God, I want the spirit of supplication upon me. How about the spirit of judgment? Isaiah 4:4, he's called the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. What is the purpose here? He says, when the Lord shall wash away the filth of the daughter of Zion and have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst of there. You know that God's spirit is like the candle of the Lord going through the heart. And when he finds sin, the Bible describes him around the throne as these massive torches of fire, seven of them surrounding God's throne, he says, which were emblematic of the seven spirits of God. You say, God's a flaming fire. Yes, the Holy Spirit's a flaming fire. And when he goes through our life, he is there to purge us and to convict us and to convince us of our sin, to turn and make us washed and clean in the blood of Jesus. He is the Spirit of holiness. Romans 1:4. He declared, Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It is God's Spirit that communicates His holy presence to us. Do you know that wherever God is at, that's where it's holy? He told Moses, take off your shoes because the place you're on is on holy ground. And the Holy Spirit communicates the very presence of God to us and communicates the sonship and closeness of holiness and imparts to us the very things that are needed to stand in the presence of the holy God. Everything you need to stand before God someday in all of his holiness is imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. How about the Spirit of power? I mean, it just keeps going and on and on. And you're like, yes, give it more. I want this Holy Spirit. He's got it all, folks. He's got the whole fullness of God. You need power to live your life. He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given you the spirit of power. We talk about, oh, I should feel confident in power. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God who empower you to live a bold life of evangelism. You shrink back in fear. Oh, he says, that's not the Spirit of God on you. The Spirit of God is a spirit of power. And once you go forth and you do what you're supposed to do, you have the power of God to do what's right. He is the Spirit of love. Man, I feel so selfish. I feel so self-consumed. I need the love of God. You need the Spirit of God. He is called the Spirit of glory. Everything that you are going to experience in glory, everything you can imagine of the joys of heaven is imparted by the Spirit of God. He is the Lord of glory. He is the one who is going to impart the life and the joy and make everything the way God the Father wants it to be. And what's interesting is in the Spirit of glory is used in the circumstance of persecution. 1 Peter 4:14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. You're not terrified by your adversaries. You are filled with peace. You are filled with hope. You have confidence to what God is going to do. And the people are speaking evil against you, but on their part, God is blasphemed. On your part, God is being glorified because the Spirit of God has rested upon you in the moment of these attacks. And you realize, I'm going to be with him. This world means nothing. God's glory and everything, it means everything to me. Man, he is the foretaste of the glory to come. And when this world abandons you and forsakes you, the Spirit of glory will rest upon you. So, what is the lesson for us today as we go into prayer? The Father is longing to give you good things, but nothing more, or I should say maybe nothing less, than the greatest of these gifts. He wants to give you His own Spirit. And all of the ministry of God, the fullness of God to you, if you will but ask Him. Would you ask Him today? Would you plead and say, God, I want the ministry and the work of your Holy Spirit to fill me to the uttermost. God's promise is, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's God's desire. You're a human being. God wants to pour out, not just drip, drip. He wants to give you an abundant supply of the Holy Spirit. So may we pray that God would completely, entirely possess us, that He would guide us in every element. When we think about abiding in the vine, you think about what that continued flowing of sap from the vine into the branch. I think that's the Holy Spirit. That's the grace of God. May we ever be rejoicing in the possession of the Holy Spirit. May we ever be thirsting and crying out for more of experience of God. If this is what God wants to give us, and this is what God has commanded us to receive, then this should be the measure of our expectation in prayer. Let me put it this way. If you're going here in a moment, and we're going to pray, and you're going to pray for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to implore you, do not look to your feelings. I don't feel any different. Because your feelings are not the measure of God's gift. The measure is what? God's Word. Did He say that He would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You have to come. And if you ask right now, will you receive Him? Yes. You must not only pray, but you need to believe. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about in terms of, many times, for me, and what I'm, I guess I should pause and just say it. I'm not thinking in terms of speaking in tongues or any aspect of that. In terms of, sometimes that's kind of what's programmed and what this. But we've just looked at all the titles of the Holy Spirit, and it's not about necessarily manifestation, supernatural power. It's talking about living the life of Jesus Christ in the fullness of His obedience and love and faithfulness. That's what we're looking for. I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, supernatural works. No, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm not saying that there is not manifestation. I mean, we could look at those verses. We could have a whole discussion about that. That's fine. But I think the emphasis of the Scripture is right here where I'm trying to place it. Accept the Holy Spirit by faith and continue steadfast in faith. The Spirit of God will never leave me. He is with me. God has given Him to me as a guarantee, the first fruits of the inheritance of God. I have Him. He will do all of His work and ministry. I'll just commune with Him and give myself to Him and fellowship with Him. One thing that the Father desires and delights in, that we would be filled with His Spirit, and He will give it to us. And if we begin to ask the Lord to give them to us, you know what the next step will be? You'll begin to ask Him to give Him to others. And you'll begin to ask for a powerful work of the Holy Spirit to come upon others and other efforts and a gospel evangelism and the work of missionaries. And you begin to see God answering your prayer because He said He would. So we're going to take a few minutes. We've got about 10 minutes, actually, so that's pretty good. If you want to find someone else to pray with, maybe you feel burdened. Say, I need the 10 minutes. Say, sorry, brother, sorry, sister, I got to go pray. Find a little spot here in the auditorium and call upon the Lord. And I encourage you, part of your prayer time here, I ask you, ask for what the Father delights to give you. Ask for the greatest gift, the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit. And see how God begins to use that as you pray to say, this is how the Spirit wants to work. And that's what God's been doing in my heart. I'll get down and I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit begins to direct my heart and my thoughts right into the very things like, yes, that's my need. Oh, yes, that's where He's convicting me at. Yes. And God, let Him have His way with you. Be filled the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go to prayer.